This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. Standing 6'2", 295 pounds from Nassau County, Long Island, the South Shore. It's Beef Beach, Chunk Norris, some other fat references, Johnny G, John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. It's a WFH High and Mighty. We're working from home. We're Zooming. I'm ruining my upstairs neighbor's conference call that is happening right now. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur's not here. That's just sense memory at this point. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, turn one of your headphones way up and turn the other way down because we got the host of the Loud About Nothing podcast, Sebastian and Robbie.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back. These are my fucking whack packers for my fucking shitty ass. I scream all that and I'm like, why am I even doing this to myself? No one cares. I could just say hello, start rolling, and save myself some time. I have to have a conversation with my neighbors once a week where it's like, what exactly is it you do down there, brother?
Yes.
I'm like, scream.
Well, I'm with my fucking mother, so it's pretty bad because my mom has conversations. She goes, so what is this story that you were telling about sucking girls' titty for the first time in the eighth grade? You know, she hears me through the vents. She goes,
suck a titty when you were a baby, Sebastian.
Does your mom have a nickname for you? Is she like Sebby?
No, Sebash. Listen to me, Sebash. That's what she says. No, Sebby. Okay. She does not like nicknames. She goes, I named you Sebastian for a reason, but then calls me Sebash.
Well, like my mom named me Jonathan. My dad's name was John, and she hated when people called me John. It's like, it really feels like a John. Like, and also, like, you can't name someone Michael and hate the name Mike. Like that, you're running a risk.
If anything, I mostly know people that are like named Nikki and not Nicole. And on their birth certificate, it says Nikki. Like they do the short name.
Yeah, I know a dude who's Bob on his birth certificate.
That's tremendous.
No middle name, Bob Castrone. Just a great fucking, great fucking name. Just Bob. This is my son, Bob. He's zero.
Of course, and you're already setting him up for failure. You know what I mean? There's no CEOs named Bob, you know? All CEOs are over 6 feet tall, and they have longer names.
They're Roberts.
Yeah, Robert. Yeah.
Now
I'm a Robert, but I always did Robbie. There was like a period in my life where I was like, I'm going to be Rob because Rob's cooler and not as boyish. But it just didn't stick. It was at work for like 6 months. I'm a Robbie. I'm wearing a Mickey Mouse.
I was gonna say
right
you
now.
Have like a form-fitting Mickey Mouse crew neck sweatshirt on, trying to go. And I tried to get them to call me Rob. Hosting a podcast with Sebastian, also putting you next to him all the time, really puts you in the Robbie category than Rob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Robbie boy, my cute boy.
I say he's my nephew. I just tell everybody he's my nephew. I don't even. He's I my just nephew, disregard. Yeah, because when I grew up, everyone was my aunt and uncle.
Oh, yeah.
I had
that's
hundreds.
The most Ginzo shit ever is that, like, my dad did construction with this guy, but you call him Uncle Mad Dog. It's like, wait, why is he Uncle Mad Dog? We don't know his real name.
I had, like, one of those fake aunts. She's just lived next to my grandma on Long Island, and it was Camilla. Aunt Camilla. I realized when I watched The Sopranos that her name was Carmella. But if you would have asked me how to spell her name my whole life, I would have said C-A-M-I-L-L-A.
But the way they were saying it, we're like, Carmella?
Yeah, Carmella.
Carmella.
It's all Carmella, speech impediments.
Carmella Harris, vice president.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Aunt Carmella Harris to you, okay? Okay, Gabris? Show some fucking respect. I had everyone was an aunt. I had four Aunt Marias.
Blood Aunt Diane's. My mom's sister and my dad's sister both have someone named. They both have someone named Diane in their family. And, no marriage into it. Yeah, it's weird.
Would it be like, oh, this is Tommy's Aunt Diane? They do it by the husband. They go, oh, this is Bob's Aunt Diane. You know,
when we were kids, we did it via the cousins. So it was like Patrick's Aunt D versus Nikki's Aunt D because Nikki was But now, then I remember when last names started getting rolled into it, and in my family.
we've all been married multiple times. I mean, like, but me and my mom are the exception, but everyone's got multiple. So it's like trying to call one of my Aunt D's. I'm like, Aunt D, I've known her to have three last names in my lifetime, no less before that. So I can't really, what does she go by? What is her kid called? I don't know.
Sure. Wow. I mean, at a certain point, it's disrespectful if she doesn't change her last name on the third marriage. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Because if you're
change for all the other men, you're not going to do it for me? Oh, yeah. Like, I wouldn't care if a woman changes her name for marriage. But if this is her fourth marriage and she changed her name every single time, I would be kind of pissed about that.
I'd be like, what's wrong with Connolly, dude?
Yeah, tell me what's wrong. Come on, hit me with that last name. And first marriage, you keep yours. Fourth marriage, you fucking take mine. That's all I'm saying.
It's the least you could do, baby. Yeah, I wanted my wife to take my last name because we don't have many people with that last name out there. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm in no rush. And then like 7 years after we got married was just like, oh, I did it. I was like, oh, cool. Like all of her, nothing, everything is her old maiden name and shit. But it did feel like a very special tribute. So I appreciated that. And that's some fucking patriarchy shit. And I'm going to use the patriarchy reference to segue naturally to our topic.
Beautiful.
Our topic, which is middle school dances. Holy shit. Middle school dances, dangerous territory, really. Like, because we're talking, I'm 12 and it's 1994. So
yes.
Rules are different. So I like anything I say here, I just want to be labeled that this happened in 25 plus years ago, and I'm a different person now.
I think anyone listening to this podcast has now gone back in time, and they are listening to this podcast back in 2000. So right. Everything I say is cool now going forward. Remember the rules of the game.
Yeah, I just listening to Grills by Paul Wall to get me back into middle school. That was one of my middle school dance songs. And I was thinking
what
about
song
Grills.
Is that?
Rob the jewelry store, tell him make me some grills. You didn't know Grills?
No,
you guys
didn't.
Do you know what grills are?
I know what grills are, and I know what the song is. I don't.
It was like Nelly and Paul Wall.
Yeah,
it was very popular when I was in middle school.
Yeah, I think I probably, and I don't know how our age difference, but I probably listened to that in college, senior year of high school.
Yeah,
I am a little older than you guys. So middle school dances. That's like the first time you're even doing co-ed shit like without your parents. For me, a handful of like, we all went to Christine's house for a birthday, or
of course,
so-and-so's mom dropped five of us off at the movie theater and we like hung out there and shit like that. But middle school dances was the first, like, you would do like whatever bullshit you had to do for school, where it's like the pep rally or whatever, and that would still be a chance to potentially see the hot girls from your grade.
Sure.
Which is, I was talking about this on Action Boys, like, when you're in that grade, the only time you do anything exclusively as a heterosexual male, it's like, will there be women there? Yeah, then I'll go. And by women, I mean 14-year-old girls. Like,
How many little girls are going? Yes, yes. How many girls are going to be at the roller rink? You know, because I'll wear my best Jordans if there's going to be a bunch. I won't even put on rollerblades if my shoes are nice enough.
The amount of times I ice skated in order to potentially kiss a girl, something I hated doing and was awful at, but I would just be like, I went in Rome. We're at the Newbridge skating rink. Better get out there and see if I can get one of these bitches to kiss me. Kiss me. Smile for me.
Sorry. I did children's theater for this fucking reason. I don't like Sondheim. I like women.
Wait, by the way, saying I did children's theater for this reason without pegging that to a date kind of really sketches you out.
Listen to me. I'm
active
in the children's theater.
Child theater performer for that reason alone.
I said we're back in the year 2000. This was Gucci back then. Okay.
I was a high school senior in the year 2000. If I was doing children's theater, I was in Athletes Helping Athletes, which is where you went back to the junior high and told kids not to do drugs.
That's I remember when that DARE program came to me. Staten Island's so toxic that I remember literally lying about doing drugs. I didn't do them, and at the time I was like, "Yeah, I do drugs," and I filled it out on a form just to like flex to the DARE teacher. I was like, "I need to show this cop I'm cool." So
I don't want
like,
this cop to know I'm a fucking pussy.
Yeah, I was worried.
Drugs. I'm not afraid of shit. What do you got? Yellow Jackets, Blue Devils. I'm in.
I lied to a cop, said I did drugs just to fucking be cool, but that's Staten Island. And Staten Island Mill dances.
Staten Island is lie to all the cops, but don't you dare disrespect the cops either.
No.
You say fuck the police if they try to shut down your fucking party on Drum Ghoul Road with your above ground pool. But if a black person in a completely different city says, don't shoot me, Staten Island's like, hey, lay off the cops, bro.
They're doing a good job. Come on.
Staten Island, maybe the only place more than Long Island that is more pro-cop than Long Island. Long Island, very pro-cop. And not even like, everyone wants to be cops. Cops are respected. Cops, like, the best job you can have. And cops can do no wrong, which is just such an insane headspace to get. And which was my headspace at this middle school dance at the
time.
Of
course.
All the way through to being, like, you know, privileged white kid. It wasn't until I was in like my mid-20s living in Brooklyn and someone was like, you know, life sucks for a lot of us. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yes, we all don't have 15 cousins that are police officers and you don't have 7 PBA cards.
Right.
I literally was in, I was going to Target the other day, a cop in Staten Island just threw garbage. He was eating a sandwich, he threw it on the ground.
That's the other thing is, we know the amount of dudes I know who became cops and were so pumped to like roll through reds and like drive as fast as they want on the Southern state. It was like all the wrong reasons that these, and if anyone from my high school is listening, you know exactly the 17 to 28 guys I'm talking about. Yes. The guys who are like, they became cops, but they were awful pieces of shit. You know? It's never like the square jawed, like Captain America kid from, you're like, no, he's a doctor. It's like, oh, who became a cop? You know those two kids who were arrested on the lacrosse team for putting a long stick up the guy's ass?
Yeah, the Pinecone kids.
Yeah.
That's my high school. Pinecone was Mepham High School, dude.
My mom almost didn't let me play football because of your fucking high school, okay?
Yeah, first of all, that happened 8 years after I was there when my but
you influenced. You're saying you influenced this, that you left your legacy behind?
I'm not gonna lie, that the hazing ended after that shit went too far, but
sure.
I'm 4 years before those guys, and we were bad. We were close.
My high school had like a national news story too about hazing, about fingers and butts.
Well, about what?
After
butts?
I fingers and butts.
Yeah.
After I graduated. And it was a big deal because we had won like multiple state championships. The coach was like super beloved.
That's
and then,
good.
Yeah, Sayreville High School. It came out that there was this whole hazing scandal.
You left it really open to the imagination. Robbie just goes fingers and butts. You know?
No, fingers.
Fingers and butts. I don't know what happened.
However they got combined. I can't even wrap my head around it.
I don't know what happened.
All I know is there was a finger and there was a butt. Who knows what they did together, but there was two of them and the news is on it.
I only played soccer, so I know more about tongues and assholes, less about fingers.
We eat ass
over in the midfield, baby.
Of course, very European. That's soccer. Yes. In soccer, they eat ass. You know, football, we fucking fists.
Robbie always says, no stopper. He's like, don't worry, no stopper when the guys are licking his ass. The one soccer reference I
can
place.
That's what I always say.
That's
no
my
stopper.
Famous quote. Yeah. My high school football program was shut down after this. And for the listeners, my high school had a big hazing scandal where some kids were sodomized at a sleepaway camp, and the coaches were sort of, they thought that hazing was part of it. And in hindsight, these guys were awful pieces of shit that I had a junior JV coach who put on a fucking helmet and shoulder pads and played like middle linebacker against our JV team and was like lighting kids up. Mm-hmm. And we were like, what the fuck? And it was like, oh, if you want to be a JV high school football coach on Long Island in 1997, that's a self-selection bias there that's going to maybe make not the best news.
Yes, that was Coach Ciadello for me, bro. He took steroids and he was always hitting kids. He would grab you and smash his head against your helmet and he would have no helmet on. Just to prove how crazy
he was. Our coaches love that shit. Our coaches love knowing who was on juice and being like, all right, insert last name here in case this guy is like a principal of a school. I don't think the guy who did juice to be B line, you know, to be B team offensive tackle. I don't think the guy who took 8 years off his life to make special teams starting. I don't think that dude is you know, flourishing in life. But I got to
say, he's a sheriff.
But when they, yeah.
Oh yeah, that makes way more sense.
No cop, no stop, unless that cop's me. You know.
No, I was in a frat, and it was always weird to see the people who really, we didn't like haze a lot, but it was weird to see the people my age that would then get really into hazing. And I would be like, I don't even know if I could be your friend anymore because I see right. how you act when you yeah. haze people.
It's crazy.
Very strange.
It's real primal, like, and I'm assuming mixed company, mixed gender secret clubs and like all female secret clubs are brutal as well. But the,
yeah.
masculinity like run rampant, like toxic masculinity, any place where no women are allowed always runs yeah. into like Catholicism, the military, locker rooms, like it always runs women, just their presence makes men be just one notch less shitty, and I
just
that is
better.
Not their responsibility at all. That
no,
is-
no, it's not. Yeah. No. But we should all remember when men are alone, we should remember women exist. That's
we
all
should be like, what if our wife, sister, mom, or a strange 25-year, a random 25-year-old woman was standing here? Would we all want to talk about this? It's like,
sure.
Probably not, guys.
Would I have eaten a goldfish to get into a frat in college? You know, probably not. I probably would have been like, this is not going to go over well with ladies if I'm just eating goldfish as jokes.
No. My school didn't, excuse me, Marist College wasn't where I lived with all Staten Island guys, mm-hmm. all Monsignor Farrell kids. They didn't have a big enough frat program for it to be like worth it at all. Like yeah. anyone that you heard went through hazing was like, yeah, he had to sit in a bowl of milk because they put so much hot sauce in his ass. It's like to be in Sig Ep.
Like, Jesus.
Like, to be in what, dude? Are you kidding? Those guys are fucking dorks. No,
yeah.
no. And like the sports teams were the brutal ones, but we all kept that secret because that was like, we knew that, you know what I mean? Like no one going away to college to play a sport didn't play the sport in high school. So they weren't like slightly aware of the drama around of like the hazing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But like my team was a club sport. We weren't even NCAA like rugby. So we were like, the hazing has to be sort of one night. Like it was just like rookie
sure.
party. And it was just
yeah,
like
yeah.
trickery, fuckery, and like pouring beers on people. But like we had no, like the crew team got, they were NCAA in my school and they got in huge trouble because a kid, they weren't allowed to make kids drink because there was like anti-hazing rules. So they made
yeah,
kids
yeah.
drink milk and water. And then one kid still had to go to the hospital. I mean, that's like I got a lot of crew jokes there if you want. It's like,
Jesus. Wow. Like, you shouldn't even come back to college.
Both of my eyes completely filled with all the blood vessels in my eyes, completely filled with blood, blackout drunk for like 48 hours from hazing. And I didn't report it. Meanwhile, someone on the crew team's like, I've had diarrhea from a gallon of whole milk.
Hey, crew's a good sport. You know,
hey,
a lot of real tough people do crew, okay?
Sebash, you're reminding yeah. me. Let's pretend there's a woman on this Zoom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
Well, that's, yeah, why am I screaming these loser crew guys? No, well, who cares? You know?
Who cares? Nice sweater. I love that. Yeah. You look
when
wonderful.
You talk about the payoff. Crew never seemed to be the payoff for me. Like 4 a.m., you gotta, like, they would have the crazy, I mean, for what? To row a boat?
Good bodies.
No.
Like, they got good bodies. Crew guys have good bodies.
They're it's all upper back and thighs, which is good, but that's not worth it. Like that's not the kind of training you want to do in college. Although I went to like a not a big school, so anyone who is dedicating that much time to like the D1 Marist football base, and I
sure.
and no disrespect because I took my thing seriously, but if you were fucking on the Marist baseball team, you practiced and like had training or things to do for like 7 hours a day for like 11 months out of the year.
I know.
It was
yeah.
like, why? To go
yeah.
to college for free? Just fucking go home. Like,
yeah.
fuck this. Like, you could work 7 hours a day at Best Buy and get the same education for cheaper. And I know I'm speaking yeah. from someone who was at that school, not on a scholarship, but it felt like the work is incongruous, where it's like you have to put in so much to get free college out of it.
Yeah, I was
at Marist. It's not like you're getting a Duke education out of it or sure. something. Like your resume just is like, I went to Marist and I played fucking tennis there.
And I would imagine like five people on the team got a free college. It right. was probably like tiered, like 70%. Most of the kids are probably getting 25, if that,
yeah,
25% and, scholarship.
As a matter of fact, I guarantee a lot of people were playing some of these NCAA sports as a way to just get in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
let's just let this kid come to Marist because he plays football. He doesn't get a free ride or anything. He's fucked in the long run. He's actually, we're actually not going to support his education in any way, and we're kind of going to just leave him hanging and sort of destroy his body over the course of the perfect, the best prime of his life from 22, from 18 to 22. We're going to destroy his body, possibly injuring him for the rest of his life in exchange for a half paid attention to bullshit education. College education already so weirdly low as like a reward for something.
Yes.
And then you were like an NCAA athlete's college education is like, you can't even do the academic stuff. Your school, you want to study abroad? Well, you can't because you're in, you got fucking two-a-days for a semester. Seems brutal to do to these
I went
kids
to a D3 school, and I felt so bad for some of the people that just missed out on huge opportunity. Like, we would go to New Orleans. People would go. Yeah, there was just a lot of fun things that were always happening, and they'd be like, no, I got to do basketball camp or something like that.
Yeah,
and you were just like, man, what? We're not even good, and I felt so
bad. The shit, too, where you'd be like, oh, fuck, it's December. I don't have to be back here for, like, 30 days or whatever. You know, like, that Christmas break that was, like, 26 days long in college. And it was
wonderful. Just partying and eating.
Oh yeah, and then and you're back home. You're back home with like contact, reaching out to like any girl that you ever wanted to hang out with.
100%.
I'm home. I'm kind of cool now.
Yeah.
I have like confidence. You got to see me. Yeah. You got to meet me again. I've sort of come into my own. Nicole, Joanne, Marissa,
Teresa.
I definitely went back and hung out with each one of those women on separate
100%.
Occasions in a slightly more predatory way. Not predatory, but in a I'm not prey way anymore.
Sure. But even as I hate to say, even as like a kid at the middle school dances, I'll bring it back here. I still was looking at women a little bit like, which one am I going to get to ask? Which one am I going to get to go to with? I remember the first time I grinded on a girl that was at a middle school dance. And Alex Banks, I shouldn't say, fuck it. You know, she was the rich girl, you know, and her last name was Banks.
It's a very vague name.
It's very vague. Very, and she's had so much plastic surgery, you wouldn't even recognize
her. From the middle school.
No. She was a
whatever. Pretend she's.
Oh, you don't want to see that. Okay. She looks pretty nice right now. Anyways, so I was like a nice little sweet kid, and she grinded on me, and I couldn't believe it. She blew my fucking mind just rubbing her butt on me. And I literally came home that night, and I called her on the phone. I said, hey, Alex? And she said, yeah. I go, remember that thing you did to me today? She goes, yeah. I go, you want to come over and do it again sometime soon? Never heard from her again. The last time I heard from her.
That's fair. She's right.
Yeah.
She's flourishing.
So I wish I fucking hit her up back after the college years, you know?
I
could have showed her. I'd be like, I dance so much better now, you know? I could really move. I know how to grind.
Dude,
to the windows, to the
grinding
walls.
Grinding was prep, man. I couldn't believe how... Once you had the confidence to... grind. So I'm in middle school and it's like 1994, probably my seventh grade or eighth grade year.
Yeah.
I moved to a new town in sixth grade. So I knew no one and I wasn't really going to the dances in my old school, but I did go from like an all black school to like an all white, all black and Latinx school and an all white school. I used to just say black and Puerto Rican because I think they were mostly Puerto Ricans,
sure.
But that's like not fair to say anymore.
No.
But as a New Yorker, it's a safe bet that, going into the white school, I like was invited, like brought into the dances, even though I was a dork, even though I was a loser, they were like, oh, everyone goes to the dance. Like the dances in like elementary school and seventh, when I was younger was like, yeah, no one goes to that bullshit. But like as I got older, it was like, oh yeah. And then you realize it is the way to see the hot girls from your grade.
Ugh. Yes.
Here's the one thing. Here's a regret I have from junior high dances. I wish I had a little bit more confidence in my own taste. In women, in everything. Like I had it a little bit because I was a nerd and a confident nerd. But I really let public opinion drive my crushes, or do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to, like, so many dance. Girls who gave me the time of day that I was like, okay, I'm kind of here for the really hot chicks who are ignoring me. Like, yeah. I'm like, it was like weirdly status. And I don't even know why I cared about this shit, but this is what was in my head in junior high.
It was more about dancing with a girl that your friends would look at and like give you a thumbs up and be like, yes. It was more for your boys to see what girl you were dancing with than the girl you were dancing with.
In my junior high, there was this weird hierarchy too of sort of like, girls would hug you in the hallway if you saw each other in between classes, like your girlfriends.
Yes.
But the hot girls were sort of the ones who were doing all the hugging, like the popular girls.
Yeah.
And if you were one of the guys they hugged, that was like a level up in the grade. It's like
you were anointed.
You would talk shit like you would say, like, Kareen doesn't hug me, but I do get hugs from Marissa and Maria and Holly. And it's like, what about Noelle? Noelle gives me a cheek kiss. Oh, shit. Oh, it's like, wow. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but Tina only smiles. You know, we had like all, and yeah. every, you knew like your dynamic with you. And that's all that's on my mind at the time is like, I want to hug and kiss as many of these people. And it's all just cheek kissing. I made out with tongue for the first time in seventh grade. My first French kiss was in seventh grade. I know you guys were younger. Were you honking titties before junior high and stuff like that?
Not before junior high. I do remember the first boobs I saw was in junior high. And it was exactly what you're saying. It was a girl that was giving me a time of day, but she was nerdy. And it wasn't like one of the cool girls. So it wasn't like, this is someone who I should be pursuing. But then at a pool party, she was showing me her boobs underwater. So the first time I saw boobs, there was a zero gravity. So it was,
that's the best way to see them.
It was interesting adjusting.
It might be because I'm an Aquarius, but I like that too.
Did you have goggles on?
I would put goggles on. I would go under, and she would lift her bathing suits, and I would come back up. And my twin sister was there in the pool.
Wait, you have a twin sister? How do I not know this?
Because I don't bring her up that much. You know, I'll throw Alex Banks right under the bus, but my twin, I keep out of my mouth. No, actually, when you did my podcast, I think you made a joke about them jerking off or something. My
oh,
twin
right,
sister.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nope, yep, okay, moving on.
You instantly...
Let's pretend she's here.
Yes. So, and my twin sister was there because some of her friends would give me the time of day a little bit. But my sister, she shopped at Hot Topic, and so that was a no-no where I'm from.
Wait a minute. That's something crazy because when you got in with one of your guy friends, I had two younger brothers, but...
Uh-huh.
Some of the other guys would have a sister close in age. Yeah. And in seventh grade, like having a sister in eighth grade or having a sister in ninth grade means you might like see having a sister in your own grade is a great way to have like a connection to someone, like a tertiary connection to girls in your grade as a young het boy. Just being like, she's having girls from your school over your house.
And I could just walk by. I could just grab a fucking snack packet and be like, hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? It's not that weird dynamic where it's your younger sister and you're like 2 years older than her and you're coming down when you're like 17 and her friends are 15 and you're like, yeah, this is weird. Or the vice versa when you're too young and you're like, oh, hey. And you're like kind of annoying them and they're like, go upstairs, Sebash.
Yeah.
But now
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like your own, like your grade. That's like some real... fucking what's the word I'm looking for, some real reconnaissance into that's
yes.
a real look into society.
And I 100% made out with, I think she hung out with four girls. I made out with two of them in junior high, which is good.
That's amazing.
Yes. And one of them was one of my first kisses, and we made out, and then I had to go to math class. I still have trouble with the Pythagorean theorem because that was the day we learned it. I still struggle with that, and I connect it with I just
A
kissed.
Squared plus B squared equals nearly coming in my pants in the stairwell. Close, Sebash.
It was.
Want to take another guess?
I gotta go to the bathroom now.
I can't now. Seventh grade. I kissed a French kissed a girl for the first time, and I bit her tongue.
what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, not on purpose. Like, I just, like, accidentally closed. Like, I didn't bite it hard, but my teeth closed on her tongue before. Like, because I was just doing, like, and I'm going to demonstrate it. God forbid. I wish High and Mighty Patreon had a fucking video tier. You could see this demonstration. But I used to kiss like I thought they kissed in the movies, where it was just like.
Yeah.
You know, like you just open and close your mouth a bunch near each other.
The goldfish move.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of thought, like, that's what kissing was. And it wasn't at all. But I definitely bit down on poor. We both had braces. My first kiss was, you know, she was, I don't want to say her name, but she was half black, half Jewish. She was an absolutely beautiful. If she was just so shy that I feel like me being so aggressively like, look at me, pay attention to me. Like, we kind of like became a couple that way solely by just like, I can't tell him to leave me alone. Wait, that makes it sound very rapey. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, it was one of those things where she's like, I guess. And then the first time I ever touched boobies was three different couples in the same room, me and the aforementioned, me and Danielle.
Uh-huh.
Me and Danielle couldn't get her bra off, didn't know about the back snaps.
Yeah, I still struggle, Gabrus. I do not anymore.
I went home and practiced because I was humiliated because of this is going to be a really weird recurring theme in my life, I realize, is that during a few of my major sexual encounters, there's a layer of humiliation and a layer of publicness to them. Oof. That really set me off on a dark fetish passage that we don't have to get into on this episode. on the middle school bit. Holy shit.
Everyone's going to middle school. This will be fun. And then they tune in. It's like, I'm into S&M. I like all this sicko shit, bro.
I want you to put cigarettes out on my dick.
Yeah. Piss on my face.
Hey, hey, Gabrus, how come? When does our episode come out? Oh, yeah, man. I'm not putting that one out. I said way too many dicey things in that.
Sure. Hour. God bless you. You're protecting my maybe career in the future. You know?
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry. If it's a race to the bottom, you're coming in second place. So you're fine. I got you. I'll beat you down there to the fucking depths.
I'll tell you something about not bad. The first time I sucked on a titty. I'll tell you this.
Sloppy, sloppy seconds, as we called it.
Oh, wow, sloppy seconds. I didn't know that.
Yeah, sloppy second base, not sloppy seconds. Oh, okay. I never heard the phrase sloppy seconds about fucking someone else that someone else fucked until way later in life. But we called it first base, second base, sloppy second, which was mouth, and then third base, and sloppy third was oral.
Was, yes.
Yeah. That's how we did it.
That's actually a great way. A couple of scientists. You're really categorizing all the bases.
Yeah, I think now kids are grown up enough to be like, that's called the pile driver or whatever.
Just say what it is.
Yeah, they just say what it is. They have the internet. They have porn. They're way ahead of me.
I can't even imagine.
Did you guys was the internet at all part? Well, let me hear the titty sucking story, not from your mom. Because I've heard it. She's already complained to me like 5 or 6 times about it. I'd love to hear it straight from the sucker's mouth, if you will.
Let me warm up.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
The tip of the tits, the lips, the cheeks.
The tip of the tits, the lips, the cheeks. The tip of the tits, the lips, the cheeks.
Okay, so I was freshman in high school, and I'm in school, and
I'm gonna light up a joint and put my hand down my pants, but you just keep going.
You did pull out a big thing of moisturizer right now.
Wow, my hands are so dry and crackly, baby.
A ton of dirt.
Just going to sloppy first.
Sloppy solo over here.
Sloppy triple. A sloppy in the park triple. I think it's, what's it called when you jerk yourself off? Yeah, batting practice, really. Yeah. I'm going to hit some dingers while you go. Tell me more about this. Tip of the tit and the lip of the mouth.
So I was a freshman in high school, and we were, yes, this is a flex right now. A freshman in high school sucking a tit. And
sorry, deal with it.
Sorry, I'm so fucking awesome, okay? So anyways, we're taking the PSATs because I went to a specialized high school, and I'm sitting next to actually one of my sister's
old
friends.
You went to a specialized high school. Way to dust over that. Your PSATs were like, check the oil. Good work. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Do you need to change the oil? No. All right. You're in the shit. Here's your diploma.
Do you prefer fixing things or picking up garbage?
Yeah. You seem big and strong, but would you rather turn knobs or carry loads? You're like, really?
How are you with buttons? Yeah, can you push them?
Look, you're too big to be a toll booth worker, so we're kind of shit out of luck as to what to choose here. We can't retrofit these booths anymore, so...
So I'm sitting there, we're taking the PSATs, and there was a girl I made out with, and we're both there, and we kind of like are looking at each other during the test, and then we get a break in the middle. Mm. Yeah, you got it. I don't care. I don't care what test is. I'm still peeking over. She's got a nice shirt on, okay? A little bebe action, all right? It's the hot.
Ooh, it's March, baby, which can only mean one thing. The madness has begun. March Madness is, of course, the madness I'm speaking of. It's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. Select the winners from 63 tournament games in the MyBookie bracket contest for a chance at 10 grand in cash prizes. It's only a dollar to enter. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for players and game prop bets, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at mybookie.ag and use promo code MIGHTY to secure a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's promo code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, to claim your first deposit bonus. Up to $1,000. College basketball, NBA, NHL, no matter what the sport, no matter the minute, from tip-off to buzzer, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. We're all looking for ways to save money, right? Especially now. So let me ask you this. How'd you like to keep an extra $961 a year in your pocket? Because that's how much Gabby customers save per year on average on car and home insurance. That's why when I was shopping for insurance, I used Gabby. What I did was you punch in all your insurance information to the Gabby website, G-A-B-I, and from there, they are able to, you give them all your information, tell them your package, and then they'll throw up some other packages. It takes the pain out of shopping for insurance. It gives you comparisons of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers. And if you link your current insurance account, you'll be able to see the quotes. So to match your exact coverage, a lot of these other places were cheaper than the one I have. So like I mentioned earlier, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. I bet that'd be nice to have in your pocket every year. You're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to gabi.com/mighty. That's gabi.com/mighty. gabi.com/mighty. Just to jump in here, overalls were big in 7th and 8th, and girls would wear, white camis over there, new, developing, those tank tops. But when they sat in the overalls from the side, overalls would kind of separate, and you would get a full view of a encased, enclosed breast. But it was it felt like you were looking into the shirt by being able to see in the side of the overalls. And it, ooh, that was a way to get through earth science. Back to ninth grade. PSATs, sorry.
We called it living environments when I was in. But same scenario, but we just called it living in the same titties, same everything. So we're taking the test, and there's a break, and she's like, oh, it's halfway through the PSAT. She's like, do you want to go downstairs and get some water with me? I go, yeah, I'll go get some water downstairs with you. Of course. I love water. I'm mostly water, but I could use more, you know?
I'd love to get up to 78, 80% water if I can.
So
those
we go
stairs?
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Are we going up or down? We're going down.
The water fountain?
I said, we'll go down together.
With you got to figure your own way back, baby.
Figure it out. I'll meet you back up there in a couple days. All right, sweetie.
I'll wait for the elevator with the other kid in on crutches.
Yes, with the one kid in the wheelchair because he broke his knee. I'll wait with him. Yeah.
I'm his friend. I'm not lazy. I'm his friend. I'm carrying his books.
As soon as someone broke their leg, I go, hey, what's up? I'm Sebastian. Nice to meet you.
Want me to carry your books so we can take the elevator together?
Yeah, 100%. So she's like, let's go get a water. So we go, we're in the stairwell and we start making out. We're in the middle of the PSATs. And then she's like, do you want to suck my titty? I say, of course. So she picks her shirt up and I just suck her titty for like 30 seconds. Not even. Boom, 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 boom. We go back to the PSATs. I cannot focus on anything.
No, how could you? No, of course not. I can't even focus on anything.
I'm taking the PSATs and all I can think is, I just sucked a titty. And it's like washing a car is to blank. Like, this is the... And I'm like, I can't do analogies right now. I did.
To be fair, trying to do the PSATs, you're either wishing you were sucking a titty or... thinking
like
about
the
time you did get to suck a titty, right?
Yes!
Like, it's binary as a kid. It's like, I was going to be distracted anyway, but at least this way it was because I got to try it.
Yeah, 100%. So I was living it. And I did so bad that the principal and the guidance counselor had a meeting with me because they've never seen a drop off like this from the first half of a PSAT to the second half. They thought I had like ADHD or some I couldn't focus at all. And they're like, Sebastian, what do you think happened? And in my head, I just kept going, I sucked a titty. I was sucking on a titty. That's what happened.
That would have been awful if you just came clean with that. And the teacher was like, that's what I thought. Pound it. Like, fist bump and like just turn around and leave. You're like, what the fuck?
So there's only one explanation for this drop off. You must have sucked the titties, man.
It was the only, they've never seen a drop off like this before. They had to call me in. And I just had to keep my mouth shut sitting there going, yeah, I guess I have to figure it out. And then I had to go to fucking after school classes to focus on how to be better at taking long term
focus.
Long-term focus classes. And there was no titty sucking in those classes, okay? There was no stairwells. There was
no matter how
rocks.
Hard we tried.
Yes.
Crab Apple wouldn't fucking whip them out for us. Sucking titties, that was a big goal for half of my life. I'm 39 now. A third of my life? Half. I think I was still chasing it at like 25.
Of course. There's something about it.
Seeing boobies when you were young. When I was in junior high, and I want you guys to explain the same to me, there was no internet yet. We weren't even fucking around on like AOL discs started like showing up when I was in high school, and we started having like chat rooms and shit in high school, but no like connecting to it. Where was that along for you guys in middle school? Was that at all part of your dance thing of like who's going, getting tagged in photos or Facebook? Was any of that shit popping off by the time you guys were there?
AIM was popping off.
AIM and then MySpace at the end of my middle school.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. MySpace was for me was like post-college is when I joined. So, 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
Totally different, because it was, used for us for like expressing yourselves as a teen. You would put Panic at the Disco and have like sad, you would do surveys about the people in your school. Like,
right.
I can't see it used for a 22-year-old.
No. Also, like the shit you guys are talking about, even away messages were sort of like the original Twitter, right? Where you would like write something cool and hopefully you had cable internet so you can leave yourself logged in, but not, you know.
I wanted
to leave my away message up, and my mom's like, I'm unplugging the fucking internet. I gotta use the phone. I'm home from work.
If a girl wrote an away message and you like broke up with her and then she wrote an away message and you go, that's about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you talked to her it was really big to be like, wait, who's this away message about? Right? Why are they quoting Fallout Boy? Right? Who are they having feelings about right now?
But if having AIM is huge, and I would eventually get it in college and like, you know, towards the end of high school, getting that was huge for flirting and like learning
100,000%.
Because you got the confidence of not being there. So you got to be a little bit, and also you had, you know, maybe 75 lines of conversation with a woman, with a girl from school, which is in person would be 45 minutes of unbroken conversation, something you never got a chance to do even with your male friends growing up. So these like getting to like type out flirting, like long talk and learn about and like think about what you were going to say and not have nerves absolutely rattle you really allowed you to connect. To be honest, and I we talk about this all the time. My wife and I, we started dating in college. We both had other partners before we started dating and we were just friends, but we were typing a lot on AIM to each other in like 2002, like long, long conversations that got realer and real as a classic long conversation becomes. By the end, it's like, yeah, so I would love to fuck you or kill your dad for you. Like whatever, like you could just build. Every documentary is like they talked every day for years. And it's like, well, we know where this goes to someplace insane. Like that, you just eventually, but so like I would have killed to have had that in junior high to like
100%. Show up.
We, the way it was is like you would get the nerve to ask a girl out to dance. You'd be like, okay, today's the day. Today's the day. And you'd like go up after school and be like, Christy, would you like to go to the dance with me? It's in 3 weeks. And she's and she would be like, and you'd be like, okay. And then you wouldn't talk at all. Wouldn't interact with each other as like at all. You'd be so nervous around her. The night would show up and you and like you would not hang out with her. Like you'd go to the dance and she'd just be at the dance and you'd be like, there she is over there. And you'd be with all your friends and be like, she's over there. How fucking cool is that? You'd be, she's like, it's awesome, man. Where like I asked her out. She like I'm here with her kind of. Well, go over to her. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. That feels weird. And it's like the amount of girls I missed out on in junior high just because my confidence level was so low that I'm like, they hate me. And maybe they're thinking the same thing. Yeah. But I am hanging out with her over and over again, spending time with her, talking about going dating, talking about this, and none of it coming together. And I'm like, wait a minute. If I would have just like taken one step further, like I might like, and now I'm a grown up, and now I'm like, why didn't I just go like, hey, let's hang out more? Like I couldn't bring myself.
Of course.
Well,
take
minor shit.
Taking a girl to the dance in junior high was you show up together, you go hang out with your friends, and maybe you do one dance together.
Right.
Maybe that's a date.
There's maybe one part of the a moment where the songs slow down and sort of your friends and her or her friends in. And I know we're being my high school experience was very heteronormative. We had like 10 gay kids in 10 in hindsight gay kids in our school. But like it would be like, her girlfriends would be like, Gabrus, you have to go dance with her. I'd be like, she wants me to dance with her? I don't know. It's like, yes, she wants you. We're telling you. Like, I'd be like, okay, yeah, totally. And like, that would be the way to get me over there because talking to women was like my, like everything to me. It was the hardest thing in the world and the only thing I wanted to do. So if her girlfriend came over and was like, you need to dance with her, I'd be like, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. You're right. I have to listen to you. Boss me around. Please. Yeah, another fetish comes
of
in. You know?
Y'all got to tell me about that.
Y'all got to tell me, bro.
I love
you. You wanted
the
girl's friends to come over and like kind of save you. That was that you were just waiting for that all night to be like, oh,
well,
because
it was
please,
that blessing.
Someone tell me what to do.
It was because the blessing.
Her friend saying go dance with her meant she said, can you tell him to go dance with me? But you had to kind of weigh that out because some friends were shit stirrers.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And some girl, some friends in the girl group, you'd be like, actually, when Marissa's going off about it, ignore her because I think she's trying to throw Christy under the bus.
And if you went over to dance with Christy, Christy would be the meanest person in the world. She goes, what? I don't want to dance with your fat ass. She
Who
would
told
say,
you this? Yeah, exactly.
She, like, she goes, oh, I would never dance with you. You're disgusting. You know, like it would instantly. And then Marissa would just be laughing her ass off that you went over and asked. Horrible. I remember one girl on AIM. I was talking to her and then she was like, yeah, we should take the pass out at the same time. That was a big thing in my school to take the like the bathroom passes at the same time to like meet up.
Oh,
in the
and then you can like you can have like 5 minutes of like walking the hallways while people are in class. Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, that's a move.
And so she was like, yeah, let's take the pass out together. I go, yeah, that's cool. And then all of a sudden she goes, JK, this has been Marissa the whole time. This wasn't actually Amy. And
they would do switcheroo.
People would pull shit like, it's, I still remember that feeling.
I mean, I did a ton of similarly awful shit to young girls as a young man. So I'm not going to just label all them as fucking with me.
No, I was mad too.
Yeah, I know. I can't make it myself sound like the cutest, most innocent person. Cause I was.
But this one story I will tell forever.
Okay. Yeah. I was one where I'm cute. Yeah. Yes. Don't you worry.
My first three girlfriends that I think I had, I asked them out over AIM.
That makes sense.
I would
sense.
Be like, would you want to be my girlfriend? I remember one, I had like a typo when I asked her out. And then she put it as, because that's what you would do. You would put it in your away message or whatever your like AIM bio. Like, be like, oh, I'm dating Robbie now. And she put me asking her out like in the bio, but there was a typo.
No.
It's just like the sentence didn't make sense. And I remember the whole time, we never even went on a date. I think we dated technically for a month. I was just in shock that she like wanted to be, somebody told me, oh, she wants to be your girlfriend. All right, ask her out on AIM. All right, then you just say hi in school differently.
Yes, exactly. But my friend Christy that I was talking about for junior high, we never broke up. We never even spoke once while we were dating, no less. Like, it's not like we grew apart. No behavior changed whatsoever.
She's going to hit you up soon and be like, I did it. You're
gonna
be like,
she ended up going
changed
to college.
My last name.
Yeah, she went to college with my best friend. And I went across, and he went to college near me. So I went across the river to SUNY New Paltz. And he was like, you know, Christy goes here. And I'm like, we never broke up. And I was now college Gabrus, so I'm way more confident. I've like had girls tell me, it's not all about looks, get over it. You're funny and charming, and that's why I want to have sex with you. And I got that in my brain, and I'm like, oh, sick, okay,
yeah.
And so like I brought that energy to New Paltz hard, but then it was like, oh, yeah, we're completely different people. You hate me. Like, I was like, it's funny, we never broke up, right? Like, put my arm around her, and she's like, let me go. And I'm like, oh, right, okay, yeah. This
sure.
is not, I thought I was like backsliding into like a perfect lined up hookup. She's like, no, I'm gonna talk to you in 10 years.
For me, it was, we would give girls our chain or our watches.
Chain was a big one. You had to have a chain.
You, and if you didn't, then I mean, it was embarrassing.
This is some real.
I hate to say that, but you felt like, I always knew the kids that like didn't have the Jesus on the end of their chain because they would tuck it in their shirt.
Yes.
If you had the cross, it was out. It was.
I didn't have the cross. I didn't have the horn. But I had the, because in my junior high, like, silver was cool at that time in like the mid 90s. I had like the silver thick chain that like,
nice.
You know, like, and I thought I was so fucking cool with that. Like, yeah, girls just needs to add. But then as I got older, I became like a puka shell hemp necklace guy. So
yeah,
I was like, that wasn't a wear girl. The kind of girls that were into that scene by then, like, weren't the wear your chain girls, but it was huge for years in my junior high. I remember that shit.
100%. And one girl threw my chain across the lunchroom.
Disrespectful.
Once again, Sebastian was hurt really bad. Okay.
And that's why I'm the protagonist of this story. And Sebastian grew that day, and he became an actor and said, I'll always want to inspire people with my craft. Like, we're just rewriting our lives.
I was not funny at all that day. I had a future. I wanted to be an astronaut. She threw my chain. Boom. Comedy inserted inside of me. Yeah. I had to develop a personality quick.
Instantly. Well, yeah, I mean, my hormones is what got me into comedy. It was like, making a hot girl laugh was all that mattered at the time.
Ugh.
It was like making a teacher, a hot girl, or like a friend's mom or dad laugh meant so much to me as a kid that my class clowning was so specific by the time I was like 13. I wasn't even trying to get laughs from my friends. That was
no.
easy. I was like, I was aiming for like, watch me get the teacher to laugh with this. Like, I was aiming to make, you know, Kelly Stevens laugh, or whoever, you know, like one of these big busty broads.
I feel that same way because, you know, I do very well in front of like 60-year-old women because those were like my teachers.
Yes.
I'm not saying though. Wait, I'm not going off the Busty Broads comments, by the way. Right?
Okay. This is from two comments ago. Got it.
Yes, this is two comments ago. I'm not saying these women aren't busty. I don't know.
Hey, to each their own. They're lovely racks on all of them. I'm just saying.
But I think that I had something where I like, yeah, I could make my buddies laugh when we were in like hanging out. But when you went to go get snacks in the kitchen and the parents were there, that's when I really turned it on. That's,
dude.
I was flirting fucking with moms, bro. I was flirting hard with moms.
I'm still flirting with moms. Like every
it's
girl
fair.
I've
it's
ever
fair game.
Every girl I've ever dated, their parents liked me more than the girl.
If you're going
every
to a wedding
one,
with a girl,
my wife, my wife's mother loves me, and I'm mean to her. But like she loves me because I give her this much attention, and I roast her and flirt with her, and I'm so relentlessly. Innuendous when she says things. I'm like, excuse me, I'm your son-in-law. When she like says something that's remotely
that's
sexual, and she loves it.
Yes, you know, I with exes, I've gone to weddings with them. Of course, I'm asking their mothers to dance. Of course, before you, a slow song comes on. You know, can he take a couple? I'm grabbing the mother's hand and I'm hitting the floor. And nobody looks cooler than when you're dancing with your girlfriend's mother.
I know, you just look fucking dope. Also,
you look class.
I'm agreeing with you so hard, and I feel an interest of full disclosure and an interest of keeping patterns up thanks to my UCB training. I was talking about how all of these things developed specific fetishes of mine. I'm thinking about one of the words I search the most on porn sites involves women being older than the men. Which is
Yes.
I mean, that's also just like a classic male fantasy, so it's not that like... That makes sense that it would act itself out in real life. But I loved my hot teachers, and my bar for hot just meant like a woman who got put on clothes that day.
The first thing I was ever attracted to was I was in elementary school, and my friend Steve, his mom, I don't know any other word for this. Had a big fupa.
Queef.
Yeah, I was like, she had a huge fupa.
I don't know any other word for this, but she sucked me off.
I don't know any other word. I came and we had a. And now
I wish there was another word for this, but
herpes, I believe the word.
She had a fupa.
She had a fupa, and that was the first moment I remember being attracted to a woman. Which says a lot about. So if we're gonna dive deep into stuff,
yeah,
I got
let's unpack that. Let me put on my Freud hat, which looks a lot like a cock, and talk to you a little bit about being attracted to a fupa. And by the way, there is another word for it. It's just not much better, and it's gunt.
Oh no!
Half cunt, half gut.
No, I'm gonna stick with fupa. In the age of WAP, pussy is almost allowed. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
we can say fupa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, fair enough.
Yes.
I'll leave that in though, so I look like the big guy.
I don't care.
Race to the bottom. I got you. I got you, Sebastian.
Thanks. Coming to number two, Robbie. Do you want to throw yourself under the bus? Are you okay?
Robbie, do you want one of the five things you say to be cancelable?
No, I'm good.
Robbie would have to have such a high batting average for him to say something and get canceled on it. It's like one out of 20 lines of dialogue in 100 episodes of podcasting gets this dude canceled.
It's like I heard he had bad grammar when he asked the girl out. He's no friend
of
mine.
Robbie's like, I only ask girls.
Yeah.
I'm really funny on text. I'm really. Yeah. You got to read the podcast I type out.
And we print our podcast and we send it to all the listeners, Robbie and I.
Smart.
We make sure. Yes, of course. It's pages and pages and I only use four words over and over again. Okay. My friend Steven, the fupa, I remember because it was eye level too. I was that little. And she would wear it wasn't Juicy Couture, but the pants were like that. One size too small. Like anyone, every single, before yoga pants were around, Staten Island moms just made jeans yoga pants. That's what they were wearing.
Yeah.
They were so tight. And I just remember I would be so excited to go to Steven's house. One, his dad owned a pizzeria, so he would bring home the fattest meatballs subs you've ever seen. It was great. And two, the fupa. Yeah. I didn't even like Steven.
You're like, I got a boner looking at her fupa. I mean, I was eating a meatball hero at the time, so maybe I can't really backtrack as to what where I'm really getting Stephen's arousal parents. From. Yeah.
I'm not sure, but my doctor thinks that it's the meatball thing that I have a fetish for, not the fupa.
My doctor says it'd actually be good for me to fuck yes. once in a while and slow down on the meatball heroes. my doctor said I would wish you would fuck. It counts as exercise.
Yes. Yeah. No, I put my Fitbit on. I put it on my wrist. I go, okay, let's go for the 2 minutes, okay?
I got a really small Fitbit. Yes. a vibrating Fitbit that I can put around the base of my dong.
I get 6-7 steps in, you know?
Yeah. Like,
she counts it as 3.
9 thrusts, an all-time record.
Bing, 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 bing.
Bing, 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 bing. Second come of the year.
Oh my
Why
God.
Do you know that, Fitbit? Yeah.
So I would.
The Fitbit's been really a hassle lately. Having to measure your cum and weigh it, and then like keep track of previous loads and stuff. It's too much work.
And I never know whether to use grams or ounces. That's the thing.
Can we all just be fully metric?
Yes, I'm just confused. And everyone goes ounces. You measure ounces is for liquid, but then why me? Why is me coming in ounces? This blows my mind.
This is some nerdy sort of socialist bullshit. But I do really wish America just went fully metric.
Me too.
It would be so much fucking easier for everything if we're like us in England. Let's just everybody go metric. Let's just whoever's not doing it anymore just fucking go. It's science.
Yes, and but you know what, we're not the best with science. At the end of the day,
that's
America,
not our strong suit.
No, we're not in honor science, America. But I mean, everyone else learns is English. Like literally the whole world learns English. Why can't we adjust for that one thing? The world's a perfect partner to us.
Right.
They just want one thing.
Yeah, like all we need for you guys to do is to not have us have to multiply everything times 2.2 to figure out. And I only know kilograms to pounds because I'm a fucking meathead. I don't know grams or ounces or any of the other shit. I only know bar math.
You don't know grams and ounces? You must from weed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I do. I guess I know that 3.5 grams is 1/8 ounce.
Yes, you do know this.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know grams to and from ounces. I guess, what am I thinking of then that I don't know?
Miles to kilometers?
Miles. Miles to kilometers. Centigrade to
yards
Fahrenheit.
Yards
to meters.
Celsius to Fahrenheit is the hardest by far. And then what the fuck is Kelvin doing out there? You know, who's using Kelvin?
Hey, Kelvin? Get lost. Where's Hobbs?
Yeah, where's Hobbs, okay? Because you ain't hot no more. Get the fuck out of here.
You ain't hot no more. As a matter of fact, you're absolute zero. You're fucking freezing.
And now we're doing temperature jokes. Where we at? Where we at?
We're back in Earth Science or whatever the fuck you call
it.
We are Shaolin.
Boiling, okay? 100 degrees. Where we at? Bubble, bubble. We're just making noise at this point. Keepers. I just yelled bubble, bubble into the microphone.
That's like the, honestly, top 8 smartest things said in this episode was you just shouting bubble, bubble. And I think the other one was Robbie going, I wanted to be Rob, but I'm more of a Robbie.
Why never
Which
Bobby?
Was maybe 6 hours ago at this point.
I think
you swam too, right, Gabriel? So yards and meters would be like in the pool. You'd be like, oh, we're in a meters pool. This would be like, that was the only difference I know from yards and meters.
Yeah, yards and meters I knew from swimming, and also very specifically that the meter stick in school had 39 inches on the other side. I just always remembered that the yards, like, it was like, oh, weird. It goes past 3 feet. And it's like, oh, because it's more than a yardstick. And that was always stuck in my head. But when you'd get a 100-meter pool, like some school, and you're like, and you're me, you're the fat sprinter that like can't do a race over 4 laps. And it's like, if it's long course and it's the 50-meter pool, so it has one turn in it, it's like you go down to the end and come back. And I'm like, really? It's like... Wow.
That doesn't
meters.
Feel like only 3 inches more per
yeah, yard. Exactly. It's, yeah, exactly. It's not only it's that 300 inches felt like a lot there.
Yeah.
It is. 300 inches is a lot. So let's just get ahead of that.
Take it from my wife, who's gotten 3 inches 100 times so far this year.
That's her 300.
Yeah. This is Sparta.
This is Gabrus. And then you come.
I pump 3 pumps at 3 inches. See you again on the next full moon for the next one.
Well, like a Fitbit for I would never sign up for one of those. I just feel like it would get so, like, it would be like Joe Rogan, all those people that are just like doing those competition, like the how long did you fuck
like Bert Kreischer, Sober October.
It'll just become like competitions of who can fuck the longest.
Yeah, we're all weighing our cum this year. Whoever's cum is the highest has to drink it on Legion of Skanks. You're like, what?
Yeah, that's what it would turn into.
If you eat the cartilage of an elk, I'll tell you, cum three times as much. The density is through
people
the roof.
People say pineapple makes your cum taste better, but my cum has fur on it since I started eating bones. I'm eating a full dog skeleton every day now. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't do milk. I do crushed up. I do crushed up bones now. Yeah,
rip a line of fucking bone dust.
He always brags that he never did coke. No one cares, Joe Rogan. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but like, I just get so pissed.
Wants to air this out.
I just get so pissed. Just who
I
cares?
Never did coke. Yeah, but I did fucking Xenadrin recreationally, so I know Joe Rogan was drinking pre-workout at the club.
He was drinking 4 Celsius, you know?
Yeah.
Before fucking vodka Red Bulls were a thing. Redline. Redline was coke.
Used to take Xenadrin and Ripped Fuel, which were like thermogenics that were eventually ruled illegal. We used to take them as like supplements in college to like lose weight, but then we would take like extras at night, like to go out at night, and I'd be like, because it would raise your body temperature, you'd be like
covered,
dripping sweat at 6 a.m, unable to go to sleep, being like, dude, I'm not fucking with coke. On Ripped Fuel, taking like Ripped Fuel and drinking rack rum, like drinking Captain Morgan's and ginger ale while on Ripped Fuel for like a full night. I got the hiccups now.
I knew someone in college who wouldn't drink, but then he would have like, he'd be like, yeah, I picked up a 6-pack of Red Bull. And I'd be like, bro, for your body, a Coors Light is much healthier than 6 Red Bull.
It's crazy when you get to be like 30 after drinking in college and you're like, ugh, I can't drink Jack and Coke anymore. Just give me Jack. You know what I mean? It's like, you're like,
exactly.
You're like, coke is very bad for you. It's like, I remember when I got old enough that I was like, honestly, mixers are, you drink like whiskey and coke or whiskey and Diet Coke or whiskey and ginger ale or vodka, ginger ale, vodka tonic, vodka soda.
This is good. He was a bartender. You could tell.
I got go around on all the buttons.
Yeah.
You want the P, the O, the C, the S. What do you need? Soda? The C, crayon? You want, I didn't really drink and soda in college because that didn't taste good enough. No. So like I drank Jack and Coke, whiskey and shots, and then like
of course
whiskey.
But
and
the
Coke.
Shots were like Soco Lime. It wasn't
Soco
even
Lime.
Like
once in a while you do something brutal, but
green
you would
tea,
like,
you were either doing something that was very mild or like 151.
Yeah, exactly. You were doing something that was like it was either poison or like candy poison, right?
Jolly Rancher,
a peppermint kiss, you know?
Yeah, we would do peppermint. Yeah,
liquid heroin was a big one we would order in college because that was like Jaeger, Goldschlager, and Rumpelmitz, which are like the three like mint flavored alcohols. You're just like, Jaeger. I drank a lot of, and my family drank a lot of Jaeger. I never thought of Jaeger as a college kid drink. Because my family, my dad's side of the family, the alcoholic side, were Germans. And they drank a lot of Jägermeister. And Jaeger was at every funeral, at every holiday, every, you know, every family function had Jaeger at it. We drank Jaeger. We drank like 8 bottles the day of my dad's funeral. We were just always drink tons of Jaeger. So when I got to college, we were like, Jaeger shots. And I was like, truly, I'm just... Because of the way I drank through high school and college, truly I was just like, Jaeger is the drink that you just is the epitome of a shot. In my mind, that's what it was. It was like, like the businessmen are doing Jaeger in movies. Like it's Jaeger. And I was like, it wasn't until after college where people were like, yeah, I can't do that shit anymore. That's for college kids. I'm like, nah, my family, we still do it. It's like, really? It's like, so it just happened to be my childhood and college that drink was popular. But in my head, it was like, everyone drinks Jaeger. And when eventually you drink Jaeger on the rocks, like as you like more refined.
I'll have my Jaeger shaken, not stirred, please.
Jaeger teeny. blue cheese stuffed olives in those, please.
Can I get a limited Jaeger brunch over here, please?
Is this bottomless Jaeger brunch?
See, Italian family, because I'm Italian, and we don't, it's not a big drinking culture. So like that would be wine, but that's not even.
It's
I mean, you
eating.
Have someone. Yeah, it's about eating.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll wine tell you is this, just to drink while you eat.
Yes, it's just to so you don't choke. It's just so you don't choke and
it's
you're not drinking water.
It's just to get the fucking grapefruit-sized beef ball down your throat.
Yes.
You know, something I heard, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on High and Mighty yet, so every time I know a little fact, I like to shout it out. And again, take this with a grain of salt. Uh-huh. But I heard culturally the reason why Italian-American portions are so insane, why we have like doormat chicken parms and like huge meatballs and like and like eight different kinds of beef in our
this is the part of the podcast where I jerk off.
A big thing
keep talking
a big thing of mayonnaise.
Hey, it's light okay, it has a carb, but it's 45 calories. All right
it's good for you actually in the long run.
It's actually healthy. My doctor insists I have a spoonful every night.
The Italian Americans, because they were so poor in the old country, but coming to America where all of a sudden beef is not hard to get, it's not expensive, it's subsidized, and like so they show up and chicken and beef and all this stuff is just rampant in America, and they're like, oh, mama mia, look at the size of this fucking meatball. We could feed our family for years on that. Like we've been like we came to this country for prosperity, and in that period food was prosperity, so they just went fucking ham.
They had no
hamburger.
Idea. Yes, hamburger. They had no idea the Italian Americans were gonna grow with those portion sizes. They thought we'd stay the same and just be like, wow, that was a big meal, I'll stop right now. Instead, we're like, the food needs to be bigger.
I was talking about Italian American expansion across, because someone was bitching the other day about the absolute lack of good Italian delis out here.
I'm so sorry. Thoughts and prayers, Gabers. Thoughts and prayers.
It's brutal. It's brutal. There's like eight. I think it was me and Don Finelli, of course. I think that's one of the few things you could talk to him about.
A nice paisan over there. Yeah,
I got a paisan, a little Jersey paisan. We'll allow it.
Well, but hey, let's not even talk about the fact that he does a little vegan stuff sometimes, you know?
I don't even
want to bring that up, but...
I've seen him hand roll his own cavatelle, so he can never really lose his guinea card in my book. I've never made my own pasta. Yeah, you gotta have a Finelli.
He does a good fish. That's why I could taste it through the Instagram. I'll tell you this, he's phenomenal.
Speaking of jerking off to this, you know who's jerking off to this right now? And I just want to shout her out. Shannon O'Neill is absolutely fucking DJing her clit, listening to me and Sebastian talk about Don Finelli. Yeah. It's like three of her favorite human beings.
What's up, Spo? We love you, Shannon.
What's up, Spo? I know you don't listen to all my podcast episodes, but you definitely are going to listen to the one Sebastian's on.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying hi to you here.
Shannon's so funny. I love her. She did the artwork behind me. She did the painting. It's behind me.
The Keith Haring stuff?
She did all the Keith Harings.
All right, she's still doing knockoffs down on Canal Street.
She's making bank. She is Banksy.
She's a different kind of Banksy.
Yes, she's making Banksy. That's what
she's taking all the money from the AIDS World AIDS Organization, which is much better for.
Yes.
Right, a lot of Keith Haring stuff
is
goes
AIDS
to like
stuff.
Gay charity.
Yeah. Make sure everyone knows the joke. We'll say afterwards.
Yeah.
Keith Haring not just making HIV stuff. It's
not trying to throw AIDS stuff out there. So that's why meatballs are so big is the conversation from 20 minutes ago. But why were we talking about that? Oh, you eating a meatball hero while looking at a fupa?
I watched the short film that you were in with, I guess, Don.
Phenomenal.
And full meatball. I rewound it like three times. That was the funniest part of the whole thing.
I ate 40 meatballs that day. And I was like,
one bite.
Do we have enough of me fake eating on camera? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start going for stuff. So watch. And I was just doing like putting a fork in a meatball, putting a whole meatball in my mouth, pulling the fork out, and then be like, swallowing it down.
You could see it in your throats as it's going down.
Don Finelli wrote and starred in a short film called Sunday Dinner. I tweeted it out at some point if you're still looking for it, but it was a lot of fun and very easy acting for me is just eating and screaming in my stupid New York accent. It's of pretty course. Much not acting, but that's why I'm good at it. I suck at acting. I'm very good at eating and screaming. Just cast me to be a fat yeller.
Whenever I see a part that's not big fat Italian guy that's yelling about parking, I'm like, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. Okay?
I know.
I do alternate sides of conversations, all right?
I just rewatch. I do alternate sides.
Hey, is this a loading zone?
I could be a guy who needs to be loading or a guy whose car is in the way of loading. My two of the roles I can book. I could be a janitor who's angry. Can't do happy janitor really anymore.
Yeah, I can't. No, life's been too hard after COVID. No way. Happy janitor's out of my repertoire, okay?
You made me think of I read the Sopranos Sessions book while I was reading, while I was rewatching The Sopranos, and there's interviews with David Chase, and they talk about reusing some of the characters, and he's like, yeah, eventually we were just like, we're out of Italian-American men to cast. And I was like, I put a fucking stake in my chest. It's like I missed it by like 5 years.
Yeah.
Just 5 years earlier, it'd be like, oh, you need a fucking young Goomba? I got the fucking guys.
I did children's theater with Bobby Bacala's daughter.
Oh, that's you a free slice of Goodfellas.
Yeah, be like, hey, I know this girl Meredith. She played Bobby Bacala's daughter for 2 seasons. Okay, you remember?
Not Bobby Bacala's real daughter.
No,
not Steve Sharippa's daughter.
No.
The woman who played Bobby's daughter.
Okay. Wait,
she gets sad. She goes, my mom died. You know that girl. The actress. Yeah. She's 7. If you look back, I'm flexing about knowing a 7-year-old.
Yeah, no, I'm putting it all together now. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, now.
My boy dated Vito's daughter, and we went to we did a whole Euro trip, me and my friend, and then she joined us for a little bit, and then he would just get drunk and tell all these Europeans that we would meet, he'd be like, yeah, I'm dating the girl from The Sopranos, and he had never seen The Sopranos, and I would just be like, wow. You can't go around Europe saying you're dating Meadow Soprano. People are you're dating
you
Meadow.
Can I
you're
say it I say
Vito's
it regardless
yeah.
I say it all
Vito's
the time
daughter, you know, and then it's like,
and she's great
Vito?
I
it's
love
like, Paulina, the gay
she's a
guy?
Beautiful person,
yeah. But it's like Vito's only around for like 2-3 seasons, like it's like explaining like, okay, so he's the guy blowing the dude at the construction, you know, Johnny Kids. Do you remember any of this?
No, he would just be like, yeah, I'm dating the girl from The Sopranos.
Like, Vito had as long
you mean
a career.
Edie Falco?
Yeah.
Rewatching The Sopranos this time, let's talk about tying all our fetishes together.
Yeah.
When I watched it originally, I loved Adriana and Meadow, thought they were so hot. When I watched it this time around, I was so attracted to Carmella and Rosemary April. It was cool.
Ro April is
the girl. Ro! Unless she's the best.
I mean, Carmella is a dream. A dream.
Carm is a fucking smoke. Oh.
When she comes out in the fur coats that he oh my own, bro.
Ooh, all right, here comes the marinara. Give me that squirt of the marinara. Is this Bechamel, baby? We're gonna make some fucking sauce tonight.
What's the actress's name that's Dr. Mel? What's her name?
Lorraine
Bracco. Lorraine Bracco. I saw her in Broadway. I saw her in The Graduate on Broadway, and she gets full frontal, completely naked. And I'm sitting next to my dad. And she's completely naked. He puts his eyes in front of my hands, his hands in front of my eyes, and then opens it so I could see out of one eye. And that's how I know my dad's the real deal. That's how I know. He goes, this is for your mother. And then he opens the fingers and he goes, and that's
for you.
That's
Sebesh.
For you, my son.
God bless. God. Oh, she's so beautiful, Lorraine Bracco.
Beautiful.
Oh, and while we're just talking Sopranos women we're in love with, the BMW dealer, the psycho, the real nutcase.
Oh,
Annabella Sciorra is the actor's name.
This is the worst part of it. I might be most attracted to her.
I know, and because she's the meanest.
She's the meanest. That's exactly it. Because she scares me the most. And there's something about a woman that scares the shit out of me that just makes me want to run towards her.
Bro, I talk about this a lot with guys who have similar, like, friends of mine, like, we talk about it, like, I almost named their names, and I'm about to shit talk their wives. So let me back up on this podcast saying a semi-famous person's name and saying, yeah, their wife's a psycho like mine is. It's like, yeah, that is not how you host a podcast. But
we're becoming too relaxed. Too relaxed. Remember, we have to pretend a woman.
Yeah, pretend
they're
here. I should pretend my wife's here always. It's probably the best. She is. I mean, she's 8 feet away in another
room. Just open
room.
The door next time.
Yeah. But she's tough as nails and very intense, yeah. And I love that about her. And a few of my closest guy friends, their wives are also really tough, mm-hmm. really dominating, the sort of, you know, drivers of the relationships, including my two oldest friends from New York, and all six of us are very tight. And it's like every once in a while we're together and it's like, you know who I love? This woman. It's like, yeah, me too. Oh yeah, hey, what is she? She's absolutely terrifying. And it's like, yes, we all have that in common. There's something about being a little bit scared of a woman that is attractive.
So then, do you love Janice? I love Janice. Is probably my favorite character next to Tony.
Oh no. My god, I love Janice as an adult who knows good writing and acting. Yeah. But I cannot stand her as a person. Even me.
Of course.
She is the epitome of what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, she sucks, though.
She does suck.
She's mean. Well, she's malicious. Like, I don't want someone, like, I want someone who's like, I have to earn, like, you know, like, getting a laugh out of my wife is like a fucking victory. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
She's playing along. She knows that if she laughs, it's power for me. So like, I'm fighting for it, and that, you know, and that's like everything in our dynamic. And I find, but if she was just like an absolute no reasons C word to me all the time, yes. I'd be like, this is not that attractive.
No,
that's what annoyed me about Janice.
Janice is just female Tony. She's equally
just
as fucked
female
up
Tony.
As
yeah.
Tony. It just does it in her own way. She just doesn't have the backing of the mom.
Right. And she's exactly the same as Tony with like, and I was going to say without the violence, but spoilers, she does get a little violent.
Mary kills Tony's friends.
Yeah, she does. Exactly. She does fuck Mary.
Spin the fucking wheel of what's going to happen to this one.
Jesus. She probably has the wildest sex scenes in all the Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. She has
by far. Yeah, she's got the pegging scene with the gun.
She fingers Ralphie, and
a finger and a butt. We don't know what happens, okay, Gabriel?
Yeah,
it was, just
it
a
was like Robbie's high school, just a butt and a finger. I don't fully understand how they connect. I'm not trying to.
It was in the news.
It was just in the news.
Finger, butt,
fingers,
high
butts.
School.
Robbie, you're in trouble after this episode. I'm telling you that.
No, cats, I mean, you and could dogs Google living it together.
No, yeah, she does the gun point to his head. That it's like by far the craziest scene.
And she has to get paired up with the exception of Bobby with the worst people on the show.
Yeah,
because
and she downs them all, baby.
This new she has to introduce this new person that Tony's gonna hate. So what would make Tony hate him even more if this guy's also fucking nailing his sister? You know what I mean? It's like just an extra icing on the fucking cake.
And we all go, this is amazing writing. It's the most basic like setup that we could ever do. It's like, oh yeah, make the guy fuck fucking sister. Yeah, yeah.
That show puts you in Tony's head so well that when he mm-hmm. does bad things, you're so instantly forgiving of him because you are feeling like it was you. You know what I mean? Where it's I mean, Ralphie was a fucking nightmare, dude. It's like, he's been annoying me since he showed up. And it's like, no, that's how the show was shot and written. It's like, oh, right. Yeah, he was a nightmare. But the show always shows Ralphie being his most annoying, Janice mm-hmm. being, like, because it's all from Tony's perspective, kind of. So you really hate these characters extra. And so when Tony chokes one, you're like, yeah. And you're like, wait a minute.
Sure.
That's not good for me to be on their side.
Even the Christopher moment, you go, this was coming.
Oh, so depressing.
I love Christopher.
Chrissy is Staten Island.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, of course
he's the most Staten Island character, I feel like.
I feel like the reason we feel kinship towards Chrissy is the same reason why a lot of... I know so many Chrises.
Yeah.
So many Chris Montesanos whose dads are sort of tough. Mm-hmm. They're sort of got no direction in life. And the thing that they have going for them is that they have like a reputation of being sort of a tough, and friends with tough people. And like,
sure.
And it's just like, that's all they have. And you just know that they have one of like five potential endings to this life if they don't get out of it.
And they do drugs and we just don't talk about it. It's just like, we know they're doing drugs and,
right.
and
we
they'll
know
deny it. We deny it, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like we never speak about how many pills he really does. It's just sort of like we know he's on Oxy all the time. We know he shouldn't be driving. We know he shouldn't. We know this woman has to leave him. But when they're both at her house for dinner and it's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like just knowing that many Chris's over my life, it's like he's the most like there's an extra tragedy to that just being for me, just like or for people connecting that
of
to
course. Like, because he doesn't want to be there a lot of the time. I feel like he wants out.
He gives you a couple of those clues where it's like, let the guy go to Hollywood. Yeah. Let the guy fucking, like, you know.
He's doing that are so funny.
Oh, the Cleaver episode.
What, what he's doing, like, because it reminded me of, I guess, UCB. When they're like, just feel, do what you feel, do what you feel.
Oh,
just
socks
the guy in the face.
Yeah. And he's like, that was real. Those guys, like, when actor writer people get to write about writing and act, it's very fun to like poke fun. Like David Chase goes after TV writers with that character JT, whatever his name.
Yes,
they're just like, as soon as that Dick Wolf script comes in, I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when he shows up for the money,
I feel like the people I know the most are the Jackie Juniors. Like that was what came to me was not even a real tie to the mob. Like totally fake. Like all show. Like not even affiliated. Just like creating your own bullshit. Like that's kind of what. Yeah,
Robbie, I gotta give you that. I think the people I'm thinking of were more Jackie Juniors
than Chrissy's.
Became Christophers in their like late 20s.
Sure.
Christophers without the actual connection, but sort of like riding that name through. Yeah, he was a kind of tough kid in high school. Now he's like 29 and no one knows what he does, but he's still one of the toughest guys in the neighborhood.
He's got a couple of tattoos on his calves of people's faces. He has to be tough, you know?
He's like a kid or a friend that died. I don't know. Tattoos are awfully done.
But the girls, because he's nice. Jackie Jr. appears nice. And the girls loved their Jackie Jr. types in Jersey.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they're rich, good looking. They have their alphas. And then they're like the kind of guys that like start a fight the night that they're not trying to get laid.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Big Pussy was the hottest, if we have to say anyone. I don't know. Just body type. I'm saying Big Pussy had the hottest
body.
I'm
a bacala man myself.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, this junior shit. I'm talking, you know, Big Pussy. That's a body.
I think Robbie's a Silvio guy. I feel like Robbie has a
big body.
We gotta keep saying oh.
They pull me back in. Gets up and does that fucking stupid thing.
Oh yeah, the one line from Godfather that they all love. It's so true. That is like so many Italian American friend groups where it's like, Robbie, do your impression, like the one impression that you do well. It's like, Lois, you know, like, that is like my friends back home that didn't do comedy. It's like, no, do Will Ferrell, Mm-hmm. We're going streaking. Everybody loses it. You're like,
I always know I'm with normal people when they're like, oh yeah, Steve's the funny one, and Steve just quotes Talladega Nights, and that's what makes him funny. Is he just remembers things?
Two types of normies when they say, oh, you're going to like my friend. He's really funny. It's either the guy who like has quotes movies, which a guy I can roll with any day of the
100%.
Week. 100%. I'm talking about the kind of guys you run into bachelor parties, because now you got a weekend with this guy and it's like, he's my other funny friend. It's like, my friend Gabrus is coming, who's a professional comedian. Or it's a professional comedian's bachelor party and there's one friend who's not and is like, oh, okay, yeah, movie quotes, got it. But then there's the other guy who's like, you're going to love my friend. He's funny. He's crazy. And you're like, nope. He's an asshole, right?
Yeah.
And then you meet the guy and you're like, nope. Your friend is just an absolute asshole. Like, I'm a comedian. If he acted like this around other comedy people, we would not think it was funny.
No.
This is him just one of those guys who's like, yeah, dude, I actually went to that bar and it kind of sucked. He's like, really? He's like, nah. And you're like, what? And he's like, got you, dude. And you're like, what? You just lied? And you're like, yeah, but it was funny, right? And you're like, all right, I'm out of here. This bachelor party sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a rub and tug.
They always think they would, like, crush Rogan. Oh, yeah, if I went on Rogan, my career would, my comedy career would.
Oh, dude.
I just need to get on Rogan once.
I am one of those guys who believes that, though, to be honest.
Yeah, but you're also, you're not.
But yeah.
Right, exactly.
You have a successful
you actually do podcasts. You're a TV.
But I just want you to know how close I am to these guys. I need you to know how close I am. I got one foot on both sides. I'm definitely closer to the guy who thinks Rogan will blow his career up than I am to Rogan.
Yeah,
so, I actually on the spectrum and more like this awful guy that I'm shitting on. But I do believe I would crush a Rogan interview and not fucking be cornered into saying anything I didn't believe in.
Yeah,
all right, man. I am uncomfortable weighing in on the you know, brain size of babies born with to parents who have masks on or whatever.
Of course. Yeah.
I got it. Here's a text from a guy, a Staten Island guy, now a big pharmaceutical dude, lives in Jersey, sends a text to the group thread this morning. So how does everyone feel about cancel culture, huh?
He also, this guy from your bachelor party probably can't stand the cancel culture.
This dude.
Where are you getting canceled, man?
I'm the only one who's a performer on this text thread, and I'm the only one who doesn't care about cancel culture.
Sure, yes. It's so funny, the people that do care, and it's like, when are you talking in public? When are you making statements?
Who are your fans that are canceling you?
If how are you afraid that what's happening to Dr. Seuss is going to happen to you? And also, let's not get into... I don't want to get into the weeds on how no one canceled Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
It was probably a capitalistic move on their part to be like, look, these books aren't selling, but we could say that it's we're taking them down because they have racist drawings in them. And we can take down 6 of our 60 books.
Yeah.
And then people are like, Dr. The other... Democrat on liberal on the text thread just writes back, elaborate.
Exactly.
And he writes, oh shit. I gotta find it. I know we're not supposed to look shit up on this podcast because we're so
you gave
funny.
Us one rule. You gave us one rule, gamers. I wanted to look up so many
the whole
things.
Time,
it was Dr. Seuss, Pepe, Mr. Potato Head is what he wrote. Those 3 names. And I was just like, oh my God. John Gabris has left this conversation.
Yes. That's the next text he got.
I was like, oh man, how do I even articulate what cancel culture is now?
Through a text.
It's not a culture.
Through it. Yes. It's
no. No one you mentioned there was canceled either. Like, even the idea of like, let's zoom out to let's talk about actual canceling. It's like, Chris D'Elia recently is the most recent one. And it was for something that's
pedophilia stuff.
Pedophilia?
I think this is okay.
Like he's not canceled. He's like dealing with a legal battle.
Yes,
right?
he's going to court. We have to separate these two words. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
He might go to jail. I don't like cancel culture. You know
he's
what?
Canceled
I
mean? For 25 years for killing that kid.
Yeah.
No, that's jail.
Yeah.
Hey, I got 10 to 12 years of canceling for doing a B&E, I'll tell you that. You know?
Well, that's what the real issue, I guess, with cancel culture. It would be like wrongfully going to prison, which largely doesn't happen to probably people like your friends or whatever.
Right,
like the
people
who are wrongly going to prison or their lives are being punished for something they didn't do because of like a shitty justice system. Yeah, that's an issue we could talk about.
Right, that's not what this person,
or like
this
going
is not what
to
you're
jail,
trying to articulate.
We want to talk about how bad jail is. Like, what are you, if your
what
job
are
is
you
to,
concerned about? What's going to happen at your, like, you know, $750,000 a year banking job? Like, are you worried that if you say the N-word, you're going to get fired? It's like, if that's a concern of yours, I'm glad you're worried about it for the first time in your life. If that's
this
like
is
what
a good
you're,
thing.
If someone's like, I'm worried I could get canceled, you're like, why?
100%. I'm an accountant. I'm worried I'll be canceled.
Yeah.
Well, don't comment on people's bodies walking around the office, bro.
Delete your Twitter.
Twitter.
Post
Make it private.
Have bad opinions in private. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's like, or don't share your bad opinions. Like, we know shit. Like, I don't need to just go up there and be like, pizza tastes like fucking diarrhea. Like, People have way worse opinions than that. But I know people aren't going to like that opinion, so I don't need to share that.
Wait, you actually think that, Gabers?
What the fuck?
God, no.
What the
dude,
fuck is happening,
bro?
What the fuck? I was having a good time. It's all about
I kill somebody for a fucking slice right now.
Eat pizza right now.
You want to talk about how much I like pizza? I set my alarm for Monday morning to log into a different pizza place's Instagram to get on a list to get a pie pickup on Saturday that's doing like one of those weird pop-up pizza restaurants.
See, this is LA shit. This is some LA shit.
Yeah, well, that's how...
We don't have to prep. I walk in, I go, I'll take two of those. I go, which one's hot?
You also have like 11 places within walking distance of your place that you can go get a good slice of pizza at.
But
we
would
like
never walk in
Staten Island. 11 in the county.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Being at home in Staten Island, that's the one great thing. My parents, I've been having phenomenal rice balls. Rice
the arancini is worth it.
Being 31, living at home with your mother, it's bad. The rice balls for not worth it. It makes it all worth it, okay?
Cut to like 20, 40 is like, yeah, Sebastian really liked the rice balls. He never left. He still lives in his mom's house. Has a wife, two kids. They all live there.
Please, don't say that too loud. My mom's dream. My mom's dream. If you say that too loud, she'll go, okay, I'm on board. I'll do that.
Dude, speaking of mom's dreams, we really tackled the subject of middle school dances.
Very much.
Yes.
I had a fucking blast just chopping it up about absolute bullshit with you guys. And you guys do this weekly, huh? You want to talk about that?
Yes.
We do something similar weekly. It's not
We got a podcast, Robbie and I. It's called Loud About Nothing. Everyone should check it out. It's we do two episodes a week. One episode is with a guest. It's like this. We're talking topics. Another episode is just Robbie and I, and it's just us telling stories and talking about what we're thinking about.
If you want to hear Robbie's voice, that's your best bet.
Yeah, that is.
I think Sebastian lets him talk once or twice on that episode.
Yeah,
but on like an episode
like this,
that I'm on.
No. Yeah, 100%. If you want to listen to Robbie, you got to listen to solo episodes of just us. But if you're like, I like this, but no Robbie, you know, then you listen to the guests.
You can put on if you're listening to High and Mighty and want to check out their podcast and haven't listened yet, I did an episode, and maybe that'll be a good way in for you. It's a lot of yell, and Robbie is there, just
I'm
so
there.
You know. He's there.
Yes. Robbie talks more in this
Robbie
one than
wasn't
he did
even
that
on
one.
The email to do this podcast. I'm emailing with Sebastian. Sebastian's like, yo, are we all good for tomorrow? I'm like, you know, you saying we made me forget about Robbie. I feel awful. Yes, give him this
Zoom
information.
I got these lights because you told me I lived in a dungeon the last time. So when I moved here, I was like, I need to make it look
I
nice.
I need lights. And now you don't look like a dungeon at all. You look like you're the fucking kid from the movie Room, but of course it's seasonal.
I might have gotten worse.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
He's
gotten
still
more depressing.
Yes.
But yeah, we do a lot
so
of
So whatever
this stuff.
App you're listening to this on right now, open your fucking podcast app, whatever this is, and go download Loud About Nothing. Subscribe. Rate,
yes.
Subscribe and don't listen, or listen, review, subscribe, do all the shit you want to do. But even if you don't want to listen, just open it up and subscribe. Just give them the juice. Give them the bump.
Thank you. Yes, we need that Gabrus bump. We need the Gabrus. I mean, if you like Gabrus, I don't know. I'm pretty close.
We do a lot of the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like,
what
yeah,
if
that
X
far off.
Was on Staten Island? Is it recurring?
It's Lord of the Rings, but it's on Staten Island. It's a journey.
Looks like someone read my Google Doc of ideas to pitch. Yeah. He's Hercules, but he's from Long Island.
Okay, I hope you're not going to True, because I call dibs on that shit, okay?
Oh, dude, True is I can't go any higher than True. I got nothing.
Fuck, where am I supposed to play?
All right, fine. You play True. I'll be down fucking talking to Paramount Plus or whatever they're called this week. I like to roast streamers like that, and then also never get a Paramount Plus deal either. You know, like I shit on Quibi for a full year and only made like $300 off of them. I was like, they're just giving away series. I never got one.
Yeah,
I know.
Any of my pitches.
When CISO was around, I would be so everyone would make fun of it. I'm like, I haven't been on a show yet. I was just embarrassed. I don't know
I
why
can't
I was
hate
making
it yet.
Fun of it. Yeah, once I'm on an episode of blank versus blank, then I'll be excited.
Does that.
Oh, come on, bro. So what else do you guys want to plug? Where else can people find you? Anything else out there?
I guess follow me, Sebastian Canelli, on social media. Robbie, what about you?
Yeah, Robbie, Robbie Nunes on social media.
Yeah, and we're just fucking putting shit out, you know? Nothing else that I care about.
Grinding, bro. Just putting shit out. Grinding.
Yeah. We're just grinding. Grind. You know, can't stop, won't stop. You know, we're up all hours. You know, we're going through the roof. GameStop, where we
at. Up all night to make
money.
Up all night to get lucky. You know, all that shit, bro.
We're up all night to the sun, all right? So just fucking look at our podcast.
Find us there, bro. Thank you for listening, Shannon O'Neill and everyone else. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcasts, Action Boys and the Gino Lombardo Show. Action Boys is a Patreon podcast. Gino Lombardo Show is on Stitcher Premium. You got to pay for that. I understand. It's annoying. Don't. If you're going to buy one, buy Action Boys. Fuck everyone. Get a shirt at Gabrus.com/shirts. And check out my Twitter for more bullshit and begging for jobs. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!